This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up Philippians with rejoice always, think about these things, and supply every need. Then we move to the prophet Zephaniah with swept away and I will punish. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings of death,
upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Chapter. The disciples went out from there and passed through Galilee. And Jesus did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking in his arms the child, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He
Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Who can achieve to the wisdom that comes down from above? Who can attain it? Clearly, our texts today make the connection between the wisdom from above and humility. And two great examples of humility, in fact, are mentioned in the gospel. Jesus himself, of course, first of all, delivered into the hands of men and put to death. And yet after being put to death, exalted, raised up on the third day to the right hand of God. There he humbles himself and he is exalted. He has the wisdom from above. Indeed, he is the wisdom from above. Also then, how do we receive the little child? How do we receive the child who is open, who desires love, who desires what is true, who desires to be consoled, who desires to have good things given to him? How do we receive such a child? We receive them with mercy, with grace, with these gifts that this child looks for. We do not despise, but as the lowliest is received by Christ himself, so also we are called to be lowly and to receive the lowly one. The child, in fact, reminds us and teaches us that we too must be lowly, that we bring nothing to the kingdom, but we too depend on everything that Christ gives us. These examples, these marks of humility, suggest how one might attain to the wisdom that is from above. And yet, it would seem, by James' words, that much of this is for naught. Perhaps this is even impossible, for we resist this. What causes the conflicts, the wars, the strife, the discord among us? It is our passions, it is our lust, it is what we desire to consume, it is what we desire to have, it is the idolatry of our heart. These passions war against us. These passions rise up out of the heart, and so often they seem to be beyond our control, do they not? And so it is, while the wisdom that is from above calls us to peaceableness, calls us to mercy, calls us to impartiality and sincerity, the passions of our heart would drive us precisely in the opposite direction, to partiality, to hypocrisy, to present ourselves as greater than we are, as being somehow wiser than we are, as though what we desire is truly what is the greatest thing. And so we replace that wisdom that is from above, we replace the humility and the life that Christ offers us with what our heart would drive us to. How do we humble ourselves? James calls us to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift us up. How is it that we can be humbled? To be sure, humility, in a sense, must be imposed upon us. It must be called forth from us. It must be demanded of us. The Word of God must put to death the desires of the heart. The Word of God must put to death those lusts and those passions which would create, out of the good things of God's creation, idols that we pursue and that we worship and that we demand and that we want to consume for our own. The Word of God must put these things to death. We must be mortified. And so it is that these passions and desires are mortified as we draw near to God, as His Word calls us to that death, that death that we have because of our sin, but that death which then becomes a death in Christ, a death with Christ through holy baptism. And so baptism is the beginning of this death. It is, in fact, the putting to death of the old man and the gift of life wherewith we would follow after Christ. So it is through baptism that we draw near to God, indeed that we are drawn near to God by His work, by His Spirit, by His minister, by His church. And so that Word begins to work in us, that Word begins to dwell within us richly. And that word begins to work this wisdom that is from above, a wisdom that would continue to mortify the passions of the flesh, a wisdom, though, then that would begin to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of peace, the fruits of mercy, the fruits of impartiality, the fruits of sincerity. As you have been given the Spirit of God, indeed, the beginning of this wisdom of God from above has been given to you. You have life. You have life in the Spirit. This is what your baptism is doing. It is putting to death what is old, and it is bringing forth that life in the Spirit. You have now a will that has been regenerate. Submit this will to God. Submit yourself to God. Align this will with these good things that James lays out for you, that Jesus himself, our Lord, presents for you as being good. Align your will to the peace, to the mercy, the fruits of good works, to the impartiality, to the sincerity of that word of Christ, which dwells in you and which continues in you as you hear it and as it is given to you. Grieve. Grieve over your sin. Mourn in repentance for the idolatry, for the discord, for the strife that would continue to try to well up within you and to burst forth in conflict and in war, breaking apart the body of Christ. Mourn and grieve that there is such discord. And in this mourning and in this grieving, repent and again be comforted by Christ's presence in his word, which dwells in you richly, in that wisdom which comes down from above. Dwells within you through baptism, through the continued preaching, reading, proclamation of the word, through the meditation upon the word, and finally by that taking into your mouth, into your body, his very body, by drinking his very blood, by which you have the forgiveness of sins. All of your sin, all of your pride, all of your passion, all of your lust, those wounds, that discord, that war, that conflict, all of this is borne by Christ in his body, and it is put to an end in the grave. So there is no longer death before you, but there is life. So there is no longer discord for the body of Christ, but there is unity and there is concord. To be sure, do not be deceived. Do not think that if you have humility, if you have the wisdom that comes down from above, that there will never be any conflict. Because the devil always wants to stir up conflict. The world always wants to stir up conflict. And if you are a friend of God, you will be at enmity with the world. But take heart that this discord, then, is not from the sin of the church. It is not from your sin which has been put to death and which is forgiven. That concord, that peace, that unity which comes because of the wisdom, because we give attention to the truth of Christ and to the life that he gives us. The conflict now comes from the outside. The conflict comes from those who would assault the church, who would try to tear it apart and bring it again to nothing. But Christ has promised his faithfulness. Christ is the wisdom who is from above. Christ is the one who gives us his truth and his goodness and his life. And as he has laid the passions and the lusts and the evil desires of your heart in the grave, he now raises you up to life, and he promises you an eternal peace, an eternal concord, because of his faithfulness and the faithfulness into which he has brought you by his word. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Having heard the word of God, let us call on him to keep us faithful to his word and joyful in confessing Christ to all people. for the one holy Christian and apostolic church, that she may continually cling to the word of truth and walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the citizens of this land, that they may be good stewards of the freedoms given them, and for the leaders they elect, that they may govern with integrity and honor, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who design and those who build, for those who farm, for those who transport goods, and for those who work in every other God-pleasing vocation, that God would both bless their labor on behalf of others and teach us to give thanks for the gift of daily bread that he provides through them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in harm's way, whether from fire or flood or from violence in our communities or through the snare of addiction, that God would grant protection and relief, keeping them at all times in his gracious care, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and injured, and for the homebound, that Christ's word of forgiveness and life would give them comfort and peace, and that they would be healed according to the Lord's merciful and good will, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the faithful reception of the sumptuous feast the Lord sets before us this day, that his body and blood may work in us the joy that knows no end, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
For the first hymn during the distribution, the choir will sing stanza 2, not stanza 3.
To the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, We laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, Christ, have mercy upon us.
holy body and the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ keep you strong and steadfast in the one true faith, now and unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth
forever. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.